Hey, game friends, GM John here. Ravenloft Tiny Terrors is a spooky, silly podcast that may contain scenes that aren't appropriate for all listeners. As always, all specific content warnings for each episode can be found in the episode descriptions. We're using the Sword and Sorcery Ravenloft books from the early 2000s, as well as the Pathfinder First Edition role-playing system to play this game. This podcast was actually recorded before Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft for a 5th edition was printed, so if you're using that book, things will be a little different here. In lieu of referring you to books that may be out of print, if you want to learn more about Ravenloft and the background of the podcast's world, make certain to check out the Fraternity of Shadows, home of Ravenloft on the internet, at www.fraternityofshadows.com. With no further ado, we hope you enjoy the show. Welcome, game friends, to the Real Play Games podcast, a podcast where I, your game master, John, run my friends through a variety of tabletop role-playing games, some of them pretty popular and some of them fairly obscure. Tonight is actually going to be our 5th episode of our 2nd podcast, which will be Ravenloft Tiny Terrors, using the 3X role-playing system, as well as the Sword and Sorcery materials for Ravenloft that were published just circa early 2000s. With me, as always, I have my friends. Let's go ahead. This time, we're going to start with Harm. Harm, how you doing? Who are you playing?
I'm Harm. I play Iffy Cthulhu. She's a telekinetic mad dog barbarian halfling, and she has an animal wolf companion named Yes Sir. That's a lot of words to describe a small woman.
I mean, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, and Iffy's got to be worth at least a couple of thousand.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing.
Hello, I'm Rule. I play the halfling Lupo Cthulhu, an oracle of the moon with a wolf doggy boom. Forger.
I love that little rhyme right there. I've got to admit.
I'm working on it. Took me 10 weeks.
And when we last left our favorite halfling cousins, they had been attending a soiree that was taking place in Tamaliu, which is the country that they currently find themselves in. They had been attending the bash that was going on at Descartes Manor. Of course, Lupo was there with Alonic Ray, while Iffy managed to sneak in with the help of a couple of invisibility potions and a very precocious child. And Iffy, you find yourself outside as the party is starting to wind down. You actually see your cousin and Alonic Ray walking out of the event shortly after you end up leaving the house itself.
I'm going to wait until they're far enough away from the party that it's not strange that two men have a small child run up to them.
Yeah, so you're going to try and meet them a little further out?
Yeah.
Do we have a cart or?
A carriage or?
A carriage, a hansom, a dray.
Well, do you own one?
I don't own one, no.
No, neither does Alonic Ray.
Okay.
The walking.
Yeah, he's from Darkon. He's used to, well, hey, I've got feet.
If he waits until they're far enough away that it's not going to be conspicuous, and then it doesn't look like anyone's watching them, right?
Give me a perception check.
27.
Okay. It does, in fact, look like you're being watched.
We are?
Correct. You specifically, Iffy, notice that you are being watched. Yeah, as a child, by a group of Portalucine guardsmen, the ones with the blue cloaks, who are lazily heading down the street towards the area where you were walking at.
I'm going to skip off in the opposite direction. I'll meet the guys at the house.
You're going to try to evade them?
Yep, while not looking like I'm trying to evade them. I'm just a dumb kid.
Okay. Go ahead then and give me a stealth check, please.
Okay. Damn, I only got a 12.
Oh, no.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really bad?
What?
They actually managed to continue following you. The area that you're located at specifically is a much more wealthy area of the city. So all of the homes are a little bit larger. And you find yourself heading down what you feel is like a turn on a street, but it's actually to a private residence. And there's a big old gate in front of your way as you realize that you've headed into the wrong part of the city to try and get away from these people.
Is there anywhere I can hide?
Well, you already failed your first stealth check, so you can try and make another one, but it's going to be tough, especially... Where's your dog at? He stayed home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Just making sure about that. Yeah, go ahead and give me another stealth check, and they're going to get a little bit of a bonus because they know that you went down this way.
Cut to us. I'm sure Iffy is going to be here soon.
A 14. I'm rolling so low. She has such a high stealth.
Okay, this time, the guards, after a short while, and one of the guards you actually recognize, it's the guard that had been admonishing Descartes' son, Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
The man kind of appears to work with the family. You're not sure because he's a public servant, but eventually the guardsmen leave. They're like, oh.
Wait, I hid? I actually succeeded?
Correct, you did. You.
Oh, yeah.
You want to know how thin the margin was?
So thin. I know it was thin. I thought they saw. I was like, I guess I'm just going to cry again and hope for the best.
Yeah. You beat their check because I rolled the same check I did the time before.
Oh.
The time before, I had beaten your check by one. This time, you beat my check by one.
Go, Iffy. Iffy's hiding in the bushes.
Yeah.
She's on her tum-tum in the hedge.
And they were standing right outside of it.
Well, here's the other fun part. Iffy, you now have to figure out how to get home.
I'm going to wait for a little bit for the guards to leave, but then I'm going to go back at least to where I had turned off the road. Because I've been to the kids' place twice now, both times at night. So I feel like if I can get back to that street, I should be able to hopefully figure out my way home.
I need you to make an intelligence check for me. Your best
smart girl. Staff.
Yeah.
I don't think that's good for either of us.
18.
Wow. You managed to find your way back to where Alonic Ray and Arthur Sedgwick live. And it takes you you're probably a half hour behind those two. Which means, actually, before you get there, I have to roll to see if you have an encounter. Oh, you're so lucky. That was the luckiest roll you've had all night. Thus far, anyway. I mean, I know we've only gotten started, so I'm sure I'll be eating those words later on when you drop.
I'm picturing her just like skipping down like a dark alley and like people like shadows looming over her.
It could have been worse than arrives home perfectly safe. Let's put it that way. But that is exactly what you do as you end up reaching the place where you're currently staying.
I'm going to knock on the door because it's not my house.
They let you in. They realize that they're waiting for you. All of them here to be waiting in the seating room. You see Alanic Ray, Arthur Sedgwick, who's got his hair is a bit scruffy, and he looks more concerned than Alanic does. The dogs are there.
I immediately run and hug Yes Sir, and then I hug Lupo, and then I hug Alaric.
We were about ready to send the dogs after you.
That would have probably been a good idea. I got chased by guards. I took the wrong turn, and then I ended up at this big gate, and I had to hide in the bushes. It was very scary. It was one of the guards who saw me before, and he wasn't going to believe a kid got lost twice, probably. I mean, I was still going to try and cry.
You cry?
Only when I'm trying to get guards to leave me. You know my crocodile tears.
I've seen them. you have a silent whistle, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was going to blow it if I got into an encounter and hope the dogs heard it. Every dog would have heard it. I got a book.
A book?
Alonic, for his part, looks very interested when you mention a book as well.
Yeah, I snuck in and the kid was there and we snuck around a lot and I found this journal. It looked like he wasn't using his room. She hands over the journal to whoever's closest. So probably Lupo first.
I will show it to Alonic.
Yeah, and she's like, and his room was like, it was all dusty and unused. And so I took the journal and I replaced it with a book that looks like a journal, but was actually a book on like birds. But I'm hungry. Was there food at the party? Because I didn't get to eat.
At that, Arthur claps his hands, gets up and says, well, I certainly think that we can help with that. I'll go to the kitchen and see if we can get a spot of food on for you. And then he heads out of the room.
She looks after him. She really wants to go with him, but she doesn't because she's probably not supposed to. She's worried if she goes, she won't get the food. So she's going to like hop up on a chair and kick her little legs. She feels pretty proud of herself. Like she did good work tonight.
Oh, no, like she did. He was fussing, but he's better now.
Yeah, I imagine him as being so tense while she was gone. But as soon as she walks in, it's just immediately like, I'm fine now.
Yeah. he finally allowed himself to take off his armored coat. And he's unsaddling the dogs.
She doesn't say anything because she doesn't want to embarrass him. But like, that's like a hug. That's like a little halfling hug right there.
When you start taking off your armor and everything, Lupo, Alonic holds an arm up to you and he says, you may not want to do that just yet.
Are we going to fight?
Well, he starts moving his finger across some of the entries in the book and he says, based on the notations in here, what I can see is that it looks like as soon as he had visited Dusir, he suddenly stopped paying any attention to any of his personal affairs. There are no notations left in this book after that.
Yeah, the kid said he started getting ignored then, too. I'm remembering that right?
You are.
It's been a while. Where are we going? Who are we fighting?
Well, it may not be necessary to fight anybody, but it certainly seems as if this Dusir needs a little bit more investigation.
Oh, she looks so disappointed. I guess we could not fight.
He chuckles a little bit at that.
So are we going to go there now?
Well, since no one's there, it'd probably be best to investigate it while no one's there.
Can we bring the dogs?
Yes.
Yes, I think it would be most prudent if you were to bring those hounds of yours as well. You can see that he's getting one of the pistols that he's got mounted on the wall in here prepared. He says, and of course, I'll be joining you.
Oh.
Nice. We're totally going to figure out this mystery now. So yeah, she's going to get yes, sir, ready. Did Iffy get to eat?
Yeah, you get to eat first. Arthur brings you out. He has apparently a nice big sausage that he cuts up and brings out to you. And he also boiled some potatoes for you.
Potatoes and sausage. Yeah.
Potatoes and sausages.
A dinner. Because you eat your fruits and cheeses at breakfast.
Hopefully they're fingerling potatoes because we can't eat a whole potato even between ourselves.
No, we split the potato. So much potato. I am but a wee halfling. So after Iffy eats, she is ready to go.
Mm-hmm. I get everything strapped up, make sure I have my potions. And do I have a bandolier? I don't know. I need to get a bandolier.
Yeah, she puts his armor on.
You have armor for him? Gorgia does not have armor.
Yes, sir, has leaf armor.
So I'll give you the potion of Shield of Faith. Yeah. When we get there, I'm going to magic fang our dogs so that they have 5 minutes of magical fangs. I have 3 liquid ices. And
she has oil and fire.
Oh, I should know this. If I'm proficient with the shield, am I proficient with the shield bash as a martial weapon or no?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. Cool.
I mean, even, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, even if it says you can't, I says you can. Overrule.
That's what I say all the time, too. I'm like, I don't know. But not that I ever shield bash.
But now you have the option.
Yeah. Might turn into, what, Goofy, right?
As you reach the Maison Dusir, you notice that the streets are fairly empty this time of the evening. Most people are either out carousing or at home by this point. And you don't see the barker in front of the place. It looks relatively unlit. It looks like there's maybe a light or two on up on the second floor.
If he looks to Alaric, this is his town. It's his rodeo.
Well, for his part, Alonic smiles a little bit.
Alonic, oh my gosh, I always call him the wrong name. I do that to all of your NPCs.
I know.
Like, I know. I painstakingly picked this name for a reason and you just use it every time.
Oh no, I did not create this person. No. He is Ravenloft canon. No.
Oh good. I'll just anger all the fans.
Yeah, exactly. You'll just piss off all the people that could potentially be listening to this. It's great. Yeah. For his part, Alonic looks around a little and says, well, I don't really see any sort of incentive to not go in through the front door.
Do I see any incentive to not go through the front door?
You want to make some perception checks?
Yeah. 13.
Hold on. I'm just playing D&D and left my dice in the other room.
No. I'm sorry. Unless you have them in the next 5 seconds, I'm going to have to say that you just can't look ever again.
Not fair. He has his dice in his heart where we all hold them.
I'm a tyrant now. I've decided to become a killer dungeon master after all these years.
Yes. 21. Okay. I also don't have dark vision.
No, you don't, but that's okay because it's still relatively well lit outside. I mean, it is evening, but there's a lot of stars. It's not a particularly overcast night or anything. You see a drunk that's stumbling down at the end of the road, but otherwise nobody's really paying attention to you folks. You don't even see a member of the guard around.
If he's going to go to the front door, then.
Alonic, one of the things that he had brought with him this time that you hadn't ever seen him really wear before is a headband-looking piece of equipment that has a bunch of different lenses on it. And he holds a hand back, and you see him start running his gaze over the front door really quickly, and he's trying to be as not obvious as possible as the three of you are crowded outside of this building.
I'm just wishing all two halflings stare at him as he's working.
I'm casting on the dogs.
Oh, yeah. I'm just watching him.
Yeah, and you see him produce a very slim set of lockpicks, and he starts to work on the lock in the door of the front of the building. It pops very, very easily for him. He is clearly very good at getting things unlocked.
I want to know how to do that. Can you teach me how to do that?
Perhaps someday I can, yes.
Alonic, you're the coolest.
As the three of you move into the building, you are greeted with the foyer. This time it is very dark. You see the area where you went last time to make your payment to get admission for it.
If he feels compelled to warn Alonic, he's going to be like, there's some really weird stuff in here. And I didn't really get it, but it's really gross.
Grotesqueries aren't many people's favorite things in the world, but it appears that this Mr. Dusir is clearly different in that regard. I'm interested. He actually hops over the little separator. You know, it's a lot higher than the two of you are, the little divider that leads to the back area behind where the ticket counter is. He says, I won't need any light down here, so if you wish to go ahead a little bit, I'd like to investigate what's back here.
Isn't splitting up how people die?
I think. Isn't there a place we wanted to go to?
There was a weird hallway that looked like it should have a door but didn't. Maybe we should check that out?
He thinks on it for a moment. He's like, you're right. Splitting up right now would probably be a bad idea.
We can come check out back here. We didn't get to see it. If he wants to see what's behind the curtain. She wants to know what they're not allowed to see.
Yes, let's go.
Yeah, she's going to duck underneath the rope and scurry over to where Alonic is.
I like how we duck, but it's like we just kind of slightly move our head to the side as we go into the rope.
It's like a nod underneath.
So you're both going to go into the little back area as well?
Yeah, if that's where he's going. We're not splitting up.
He's looking around and you can see that he says, you two will probably need a little bit of a light source in here, won't you? Considering that you can't really see that well in the dark.
Are there windows? I look around.
There are windows. They're slightly tinted, so there's not a lot of ambient light coming in from the outside. There's enough that in the front part of this area, you could see with low light vision, but it might get more difficult the further in you go.
Is there like a lamp or a lantern?
I have a hooded lantern. I pull a hooded lantern out of my bag and light it up.
I guess we can light it. I was going to just cast light inside of it.
Oh, sure.
That way we can close it.
That works too, if you want to do that.
Okay, very clever maneuver. Yeah, you manage to get the light going. And Alonic goes, that makes it quite a bit easier to see in here.
If he beams, she feels real proud of providing the lantern. She's like, gives a thumbs up to Lupo because he lit it. Teamwork makes a dream work. That's what they say at the dam.
Yeah.
And he motions towards, it looks like there's a series of offices behind where the ticket area is. As you folks head into the other one, it looks like it's mostly a bunch of ledger books, especially as you start looking through the information. It just appears to be purchases of wax, number of tickets sold per day for X amount of days. It's all very dry stuff.
Nothing referring to the kid's dad, right?
No. As far as the ticket sales or anything, there's not even any mentions of that. But the next office, the one that's behind this one, you would have to walk through this kind of business office to get to it. It is locked.
Hmm. Well, Alonic's here for that.
He is, and he immediately starts looking the door over once again. It's really nice that I got you guys a really good investigator to bring along with you.
Yeah, otherwise I'd just be breaking down doors.
It takes him less than a minute to get this door open. He is very quick with his tools. And as the door swings open, you can see this looks like Dusir's personal office based on the different anatomical sketches and things like that that decorate the walls in here.
Yeah.
If he's going to look for any references to him buying the wax set that they're looking for, the tools, right?
you're there looking for a set of sculptor's tools. They're not necessarily wax tools per se. They're more just generalist tools for sculpting.
Yeah, sorry. I lost my notes. So I'm just going off of my very shaky memory.
Hey, it's not that
shaky. I'm surprised I remembered all of this.
Well, you guys look around. I'm going to keep watch.
Good idea.
I'm just sitting in the front room and just kind of watch. I'll bring Gorgia with me.
So give me a perception check. That way you can help Alonic look around if he... Oh, and Who's taking the lantern?
You would have it, because I can see decently enough out there.
Yeah. I have a 25 to help him. Or sorry, 27 to help him.
Wow. You actually find it before Alonic does at this point. You find in amongst all the different books that are listed in here, there is a list of prominent citizens in the area of Damal Liu. You managed to confirm that by talking about it with Alonic. He notices a couple of the names. His name is actually on the list as well.
That's probably why I would have pointed it out to him.
Yeah.
I would have been like, look, you're on this list.
And as you're looking through it, you can see that a number of names have been crossed off, including that of Descartes.
I'm glad you're not crossed off.
He laughs a little bit and he says, yes, that would be very unfortunate for the both of us, I think.
Have you heard any about any of these other people acting weird?
I haven't, but at this point, I'm quite concerned. If the Baron has been crossed off at some point, if he's been acting strangely, one can infer that it's possible that Dusir may have had something to do with that.
Do we find any references to the sculpting tools here?
You do not. And Lupo, give me a perception check.
I'm going to tell you this. I have a bag of caltrops ready in case someone comes in the door. I'm going to throw them and run backwards. Perception 13 plus 9 is 22.
It's so terrible having two halflings as the characters in this game. Because I'm just like, stealth, perception. Oh, yeah. Those things that halflings are really, really great at, naturally. Next, I'm going to make you throw or use slings. Lupo, you hear a distinct squeaking sound. You and Gorger actually hear it at the same time, and you know for a fact it is the sound of someone descending wooden steps. And you can tell that the hallway that runs kind of parallel to the set of offices in here, the one that led up to the area that you had gone in to see the wax figures before, somebody is coming from that stairway, and you see a dark figure start turning and walking down that hallway. You can just kind of see it as you peek around the corner.
I will motion for Gorger to go behind, inside the door. And then I'm going to spread out my caltrops and run it, go in there.
Okay.
Let's make sure how long that takes.
I think it's just a standard action. I will have you give me a stealth check, though, since you are at this point taking the time to do something beforehand.
These are heavy caltrops. 8.
Eight total,
yes.
Oh, dear.
Good. Plus 6 to my stealth.
Well, here's the good news.
It wasn't a 1 that you rolled.
It wasn't. You didn't roll 1. The figure starts coming towards the area that you're located in, and you go dash behind the counter with Gorger. Unfortunately, the area behind the counter where Gorger is located at is just not quite large enough to fit both you and him at the same time.
It's only large enough for a halfling or a wolf.
Gorger's a lot bigger than you. Here's what happens. The figure sees the edge of your foot sticking out from behind the counter.
I feel like a cat that's butt sticking out, tail wagging.
And immediately as they do that, they step forwards and their foot goes down directly onto the caltrops.
That's painful.
They appear to be having a little bit of an issue, but you see their face. It's a very pasty-faced, pale-skinned man, very thick-looking. Looks like native Damal Liu by the look of it. He doesn't make any indication that it hurts him.
Oh, that's so scary.
I have my shield up and I bring up the little silent whistle and I'm like, doot, doot.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and roll for initiative. I'm not even going to roll for it because you've got an elf, a halfling, and a dog. You all hear the whistle.
I shut my lantern.
We're going to go ahead and roll for initiative for you, Lupo.
That's
so 12. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
12.
I got an 18 for initiative. I don't think I'm in it yet, but I'm going to be, so.
No, I mean, you know that something has gone wrong. You can tell that much. So I'll write yours down for when you can hop in on it. Lupo, you get to go first. By the way, your spell has been active on the dogs for about a minute.
Oh, okay. So it's 4 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to move around the area where I know my call traps are. I'm going to cast Bull Strength on me. As I get around, I will say, Roger, strike.
Yeah.
Get it. Get.
Okay, go ahead and give me the attack.
Boy, this turned violent real fast.
16 plus 7 is 23.
Yeah, I mean, I'll let you know when a 22 doesn't hit something. It's not going to be this adventure, I promise you.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's, and he's flanking, so it's 25, yeah. That was a 1, so 5.
Gorger leaps up and bites this gentleman right in the ass. And again, plus, no semblance of any kind of pain on this person's expression. What was the plus to the 5?
Plus trip.
Ah, okay.
So he's like a wax golem or something.
Oh, I don't think that 13 would beat the CMD.
It does not. What happens is when Gorger leaps up and bites this man in the buttocks, a big chunk of buttocks just comes off.
Is there blood or is it just wax?
There's no blood.
Ooh, wait. Is it like that Wax Museum movie where like the part of that guy's cheek comes off and you can see like the bone and the muscle and stuff, but it's all wax?
No, it's just wax underneath.
Okay.
I was not prepared for that.
Yeah, so Gorger has a big chunk of wax in his mouth and he kind of hacks and spits as he coughs it out.
He's got wax butt in his mouth.
And as he does that, figure reaches its arm up and it's got a club like hanging from its belt, but it just reaches an arm up and tries to pound on you.
On Lupo or on his dog?
On Lupo.
Oh, no.
It can't pound behind its butt. I mean, it could turn around if it wanted to, I guess, but it makes more sense narratively to punch Lupo.
Oh, I mean, makes sense.
I was trying to get its attention, too. I was like,
congratulations, you have succeeded. And what is your armor class, Lupo?
21.
Oh, good Lord, no.
Wow.
You got a 12 total. You managed to you get your shield up and it clangs. Its fist would clang against your shield, but it's more just kind of like a sticky thud.
Wax golem.
And at this point, both Alonic and Iffy, you are well aware that there is something going on. You hear the sounds of a fight happening inside of the room that you know your cousin is still hiding in.
Okay, can I get into the fight?
You and Alonic would actually make it out there at the same time.
My little legs are turning.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can make an action once you get into the room.
Oh, I'm going to totally throw that guy's butt at him. She wouldn't have the adamantine in her hand yet. She would just have the lantern and she's not going to throw that. But there's like that piece of butt on the ground, right?
Yeah, you can get close enough to Gorger that you can pick up the piece of the butt with your telekinesis and hurl it at
him. Yeah, I'm going to kinetically blast him with his...
With his own butt?
With his own butt, yeah.
Oh, wow. This one went off the rails fast, folks. Go ahead and make your attack roll, Iffy.
I literally was like, what could she grab in the room? And that was the first thing that came to my mind because it's the last object we spoke of. He's close by. I'm within 30 feet, right?
You are.
That's for a 14 to hit.
Okay, and do you have point blank shot and precise shot?
I have point blank shot, but I don't have precision yet.
Okay, so you take a -4 to firing on an enemy that's in melee.
Okay.
So it would be a 10 total. The chunk of his butt flies against the wall and just splatters.
Can yes sir attack?
He can.
Get him, yes sir.
Alonic is literally a foot behind you as you're coming through the door and throw this thing's butt at it.
Since I'm a mad dog barbarian, I assume I don't have to tell my dog to attack. I would have to tell him not to attack someone I was fighting. Rather
to give him a command, it's attack. So
get him.
Oh man, he only got an 11.
No, unfortunately, even as he jumps in with his fellow pupper and starts trying to nip at this thing, it manages to get out of the way. It's pretty quick for something made out of wax. As Alana comes bursting through the door, he sees this thing and immediately notices the fact that its butt has a big chunk missing and is made out of wax.
He looks like to man with missing butt, wax piece splattered against wall. Caltrop sticking out of wax man's foot.
He pulls a vial of clear liquid that's got, it looks like a two-part vial. One part's clear and one part's blue. He shakes it really, really hard and hurls it in the direction where this creature is. Oh my god. Now, the little vial that he throws sails behind this thing's head, hits the wall, and there's a loud explosion. Loud enough that you know that people from outside of the building probably heard that just go off.
Ooh,
that's so cool.
And there's a big chunk missing from the area of the wall where this thing landed, and you can hear him cursing under his breath.
If he thought it was neat.
Lupo, we are back to you.
Should I just attack or should I do more buffing?
He's attacking you, so... And you got that bull strength, right?
Yeah, but I can get everyone. All right, I'll attack. I pull up my silver sickle. Does an 18 hit with flanking?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yay! Since I am a dirty fighter, I know how to hit extra hard whenever I'm flanking.
I always forget I have that, too. We dirty fight together.
Yeah, that's why we both have it.
Yeah.
Max damage. So I did 7 damage.
Wow.
Magical silver.
You slash almost completely through this thing's left thigh. And now it seems to finally take notice just because of the hacking slice that runs almost all the way to the back of its calf. You can see as it takes another step forward, its leg kind of flops a little bit for a moment, but then it mushes back down on the wax, and yeah. Gorger also has his attack.
Oh, yeah, he gets to go. And we are flanking, so he gets +9 altogether. That is a 28.
Okay.
Apparently, I'm a fighter. 1 again. So 5 damage. Plus strip.
Eat him, Gorger.
Ooh. Does a 26 overcome a CMD?
Yeah, once again, we're back into that category where it's, I will tell you if that's something that doesn't happen at that point. So what happens is Gorger, as you're busy savaging the left leg on this thing, Gorger takes a sneaky little nip out of its right ankle and bites through it. You can see the foot still kind of wiggling a little bit as this thing collapses and falls backwards in the spot where it had been standing because it's currently missing its right foot.
Yeah.
At this point, it has a scowl on its features now. Like it genuinely looks upset. This is maybe the first time you've seen that. It lashes out and tries to punch Gorger.
What did he do?
Well, regardless, it only got a 10. So Gorger leaps back all of a sudden as its fist swings wildly through the air. Gorger is no longer in the spot where he would have been hit.
If he's gonna...
You can no longer see this figure because where you're at behind the counter, you had been able to see it because how much taller it was than your cousin. But now it's fallen onto the ground, so you can no longer see it. You'll have to move around the counter and to it if you want to try an attack.
Is anyone else coming yet?
Not that you're aware of.
Can I move to flank with my dog?
Yeah, you can move in at this point, especially if both of you are moving in at the same time. You can move into a flanking position on him as well. He's on the ground.
I'm going to pull out Wolfsong, and I'm going to attack.
Okay, make that attack with Wolfsong.
Yeah, and I have pack tactics with my dog, so I get a +4 on attack rolls while flanking the same opponent.
Yeah, he's also prone.
I know.
Basically, you get almost a +8. Because he has to make it a 4, tasty.
I rolled a 19.
With your greatsword.
Yes.
Which is a crit. Well, go to roll to confirm that critical.
I only got a 5 plus a 7 plus a 4 plus whatever the bonus for him being on the ground is.
16.
You hack off his left leg completely and a portion of his torso.
Yes, sir, is going to attack.
Oh, no.
He also has pack tactics.
He does. And he has trip, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, because we're a pack. We're duo pack. 17 plus...
Nope, just stop. Go ahead and roll for the damage.
That's for 9 plus trip.
At this point, there are no legs left on this wax security card. It's Alonic's turn. Alana grabs another vial from out of the little assortment of vials he has on his belt, and he runs over not towards the enemy, but towards the front doors, and he pushes them shut, and he uses the liquid inside of the vial to run down beneath the gap in between the doors. That's all you That's really so cool. see at this point.
He's locking us in. Now the wax monsters are locked in with us.
Woe to them.
Iffy.
Yes.
You are the target of this thing's insane ire at this point. It's just floundering and swinging wildly.
I can understand that.
And I'm virtually positive a 16 does not hit you.
Does not.
No. It swings feebly at your legs.
Cool, cool. I'm going to attack. Oh, 12?
Yes, that still hits.
Oh,
okay. He is on the ground, and I think you're flanking with your dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like you have this like great detective guy, and then over in the corner, there's just like two halflings and their dogs, just like curb
stomping. Gang beating a wax doll. Yes.
Max damage for me is a 7.
Nice. You hack its head off.
Oh, is that how we killed it? It's susceptible to being decapitated?
Most things seem to be.
It's weak to decapitation and dismemberment. Keep that in mind.
Does it have like the head like the mayor from Nightmare on Elm Street where it turns to have like different faces?
No.
Or that'd be weird.
Yeah, no. It just kind of sinks into more of like a mush once it, you've removed the head from it. It's like soft wax.
Ew.
Sonic. Is this how wax figures normally behave in Demon Liu?
For a moment, Alonic looks you over as if he's trying to figure whether or not you're being sarcastic. But then he realizes that you're not sarcastic, and he says, no, this is completely out of the ordinary for Demon Liu.
Oh, but it might be the kit that he got from Uncle.
At this point, I think we had better hurry through here if we're going to try and find anything that we're looking for. I've managed to seal the front door, and that'll probably buy us a good 10 or 15 minutes if a regular man's trying to ram it down, but it doesn't appear we're in the realm of regular men anymore, does it?
Do you think all the scary things that we saw are going to come to life and try and kill us?
Oh, I hope not.
Let's I would go be see. As wary as possible, just in case.
All right. If he's going to head on down the hallway, I guess. That's where they have to go, right? They've already explored the offices area.
Correct. You head down the hallway, having found the information that you were looking for in the offices. You step over the waxy remnants of the guard question mark that you had killed. And as you climb up the steps and head into that little small area that you had been in previously that you had noted that you kind of wanted to come back to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's on the opposite side. Never mind.
We have to go through steps. A couple of them. I forget what the ones were, though. Like, I know there was, like, a werewolf.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, I'm sure you do. It was your house of horrors.
And I'm going to cast Shield of Faith on myself as we're moving.
Okay. And at this point, you now have 3 minutes left on the dogs, by the way.
Okay, and 4 minutes on full strength.
As you come up the first set of steps and start heading in towards the first exhibit, it is very, very dark. And you see that, much like it was the first time that you were in here, it's a figure that looks like they're mid-transformation between two different figures. And the sign on the little placard, which you can still read because you have the lantern, says, The Madness of Sir Tristan Heregard.
I'm going to poke him with my telekinesis.
You poke him telekinetically, you make a little dimple inside of the figure.
A second one, because I've done it before.
Correct, yeah. And it's eerily quiet up here.
Okay, she's going to keep going then.
Use my chalk to mark off the floor where we were. There's going to be chalk marks everywhere in this building.
Yeah.
As you head through the curtaining that leads off to the second exhibit area, once again, it's a very bloody scene where a man is hacking what appears to be a family that's having a picnic to death with an axe.
I poke all of them with my telekinesis.
You poke all of them telekinetically. None of them seem to move, but Lupo and Iffy, I want you to both give me intelligence checks.
My strongest stat.
19.
12.
Lupo, you recognize that one of the statues of the family members is missing.
Wait, was there supposed to be another? As he hit?
Yeah, it was a statue of a little boy who had had his arm lopped off and was holding it like it really was painful. Because that would be.
Oh, no, he's in a club with his arm. One of the statues is missing.
You're way better at remembering this stuff than me.
That one really, it looked like Cousin Saul.
You're right. Do you mean the one?
When he lost his arm fighting that beaver?
Yeah, I remember that day. It's not one that you can forget.
Nope.
That beaver was real mean. Well, there's not much we can do about that. Like, hopefully he stays away, I guess.
As you're passing through to the next exhibit, you see, once again, a tableau of a man at a surgical table. He looks like he's doing something horrible to a person in it. And Iffy, you're the only one that picks up on this. You hear a slight scraping noise come from the back of the exhibit.
Oh, no.
In Halfling, she's going to say, did you hear that scraping coming from the back of the exhibit? Does Alonic speak Halfling?
He doesn't say anything.
Well, I have the piece of chalk that's in my hand, and I cast light on it and throw it.
Nice. She's going to get an adamantine ball out of her bag and be ready to shoot it.
You cast light on the piece of chalk, and doesn't that negate the one that's in your lantern?
Probably, yeah, because they're cantrips, so.
Yeah,
that's all right.
So as you throw the piece of chalk, it illuminates the back area. Nothing to be seen out of the ordinary back there.
Oh, are the windows in here? I didn't even look for windows. I was freaking out, so I did that.
No, it doesn't appear that there's windows, but you hear all of a sudden another rustling noise. It's not from the area where the chalk had landed. It's from the curtains behind Alonic, who is the last one to enter the room. If you see it for just a split second, it's a little boy who swings at Alonic with his missing arm.
Can I attack?
You can't, no, because you've been surprised. I rolled perception checks for you, and this boy hid well. Great.
Cousin Fido. What did I say his name was?
It 20? Swings at Alonic, but he manages to get out of the way at the last second and just kind of leaps away from the bony, like, it looks like a sharpened bone shard now at the end of this thing's missing arm.
I'm imagining, like, if he turns and looks and her eyes get big and he just knows there's something behind him.
And now we can roll for initiative.
Nice. 15.
13.
Iffy, it would be you first, then.
She's going to hit him with an adamantine ball if she can.
Okay, well, you will have the penalty because he is in melee with Alonic right now, but you can make the attack. Mm.
How close am I?
You, at this point, are within 30 feet. The exhibits aren't very large in terms of the size.
Yeah, like we were standing next to him, right?
Yeah, you're like 6 or 7 feet away from Alonic at this point.
Can I do a 5-foot adjust with my dog to flank?
Your dog won't be able to do it on a 5-foot adjust. You would be able to.
Can my dog move ahead of me to flank him with me? He doesn't have to attack.
You guys move at the same initiative, so your dog can even move and bite when you are flanking. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to flank, and I'm going to swing Wolf Song at him.
Okay.
I rolled an 18 plus 7.
Yep. Don't have to plus it. If it's an 18, just...
And that's for a 7.
You bring your blade down directly into this thing's chest, and you just leave a big discolored wedge slice right in the middle of its chest.
And you said Yester can't attack yet, right?
He can.
Okay, then yeah, he's going to attack too. For a 17?
Yes, once again, that will hit.
And that's for a 5 plus trip.
Unfortunately, he leaps and takes a big bite out of the thigh on this boy, but he does not manage to bring the boy down.
Oh, man. That's all right. He's a good boy anyway.
I say guard to Gorger, because I think there's already 4 people around him.
Yeah, the kid's pretty well boxed in at this point.
Yeah, so I think I'm the only one who'd be able to flank, so I'm going to go in and attack. Try to flank with someone.
I'm a good person to flank with.
Yeah, but you're flanking with your pupper.
Yeah, you might have to flank with...
Yeah, can I flank with Alonic?
Alonic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Alonic, he's actually in the midst of drawing his rapier currently.
Cool.
Oh, with a rapier.
15.
That hits.
Just a child.
5.
5? All right, you slash right across the front of this child's face and lop the tip of his nose off.
We've been pretty consistent in our damage.
And then Gorge is going to stand behind me, and can he boost my AC against something like coming from behind?
Oh, yeah, coming from behind, yeah. I mean, he'd be able to move behind you to keep you from getting flanked, too.
Yeah, that's what he's going to do.
Okay. At this point, lashing out once again at you, since you just struck it in the face, the little boy wax golem tries to swing his arm stump once again. Oh, 25 hit.
Oh, ooh. Wow. Yeah.
That's a high attack.
It shatters the little moons that are circling me from my Fuel the Faith.
Oh, yeah. Right, right. It penetrates one of the moons like an asteroid. Lupo, it rakes you right across the face with the tip of this thing, and it feels like steel. You are slashed and bloodied for 9 points of damage.
Oh, ow.
And at this point, Alonic, grabbing yet another vial from his belt, almost flicks it at the boy at this point instead of flinging it at him. Oh, and strikes it dead in the chest. As flame begins to emit from the clear liquid that had been stored inside of this vial, you see the boy's figures start running and contorting, and his face becomes like a warped parody of a human boy's face as it melts and reshapes with the flames licking up it. Both of you, give me actually a will save against this, because this is really horrible.
Her weakness. Oh, wait, it's a horror, a fear thing?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, because I'm fearless, so.
Well, you still have to roll for this. This is Ravenloft.
Yeah.
I get plus two versus fear.
Pretty good.
Correct.
So 22.
21.
All right. So we're just going to take a moment, right? And we're going to explain how clearly the optimized build for Ravenloft is a halfling with an animal companion. Like, if you want to kill Strahd von Zarovich, you get a party with six halflings that have six dogs. They will trip everything they encounter. Yeah.
And never like, be feared.
I bet the guy who made all this stuff would really like to see this.
I bet you they would. I really bet you they would.
I never thought I'd see our cousin melt before. Oof.
I know. Nightmares.
Iffy, it's your turn.
He's still alive?
That's kind of a nebulous term to use for a thing like this. It's still functional currently. It does not look good. It is.
It's just melting, right? In the middle of all of us, like some sort of horrific summoning.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a really bad.
Try and put out the fire with Wolf Song.
Okay. You're going to try and just put those flames out with a great sword.
You know, it's second most intended used. I rolled a 19.
How do you kill it? I'm not going to make you confirm it.
Lopping off the head. She lops off the head. That was a confirmed weakness point for these wax figures.
Well, once again, the weakness proves to be true. These things are incredibly weak against decapitation.
Apparently being burnt alive.
Yeah, it's very specific weaknesses, but boy, you're hitting them quite a lot.
Just by luck. So she's immediately going to turn once she knows that the thing is dead. And try and give Lupo a potion of Cure Light Wounds.
Oh, no, it's fine. I pull out my wand. Like, I have this.
Okay, but you got hurt. She's very worried. She's trying to act tough about it, but she's very worried.
The wand I have has like a little moonstone at the end. I just like swirl it around my wound and it starts curing me.
And that is Cure Light Wounds?
Cure Light Wounds. So that's four. And you get, not enough. Hold on.
By the way, as you're using the wand to heal yourself, you hear a pounding noise coming from below.
Maybe someone's investigating that explosion.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody is hitting the door, and after a moment, they hit it again. It sounds like somebody might be trying to knock the door down.
Sounds like we need to move.
Yes.
So let's head on to the next room.
As you head into the next room, this is the little area that you had taken note of previously. Everybody give me perception checks as you go in here.
I'm like, this is the weird hallway, Alonic. Look, it looks like it has a door somewhere, but it doesn't, right? Now I got a good one.
I'll just cast light back in your hood.
Nice.
24. 26.
Okay, well, we're just going to have everybody aid one another. Lupo, you got the highest of the bunch. You two discover there's not one secret door in this room. There's two.
Oh.
Both of them are painted the same color as the walls in here. They're just pitch black. One of them is slightly ajar, and you can see that it's a room that has a number of strange metallic devices inside of it. When you get closer to them, Alonic actually leans over and looks through one of them, and he says, "Periscopes. They were using this area to watch the different exhibits."
Oh man, I bet they were real mad when we came through.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're in the hallway. There's a door that leads to a room with periscopes in it. Do we see anything? If he's going to look through each periscope.
As you start looking through the periscope, you do see something. It corresponds with a crashing sound that you hear only like a little more faintly now. There are people coming in through the front door.
I was going to say, it's like Five Nights at Freddy's. We're going to watch the...
like they're coming in. There's people here now. If we're going to get through this, we better go fast.
Yeah.
The people that you see coming in are Dusir,
Baronel Descartes, and tucked underneath of his arm with a hand clamped over his mouth, Little Ambrose Descartes.
They brought the boy. I'm going to kill him.
And as you're looking through the periscopes, Alonic pulls the other door open and he reveals there's a staircase leading up.
Let's go.
Okay.
As you head up the rickety wooden staircase, it leads you into a room that has a smell that you would describe in a charitable fashion as completely overwhelming.
Ugh.
It reeks of awful in here. And you see right away, O-F-F-A-L, like poopies.
No, I don't.
But yeah, it also smells all A-W-F-U-L. You're correct. Yes, that was a very good pun, and I'm sorry I ruined it. I feel guilty now. You see that this is a workshop. There are huge crates, tools, boxes laying all over the place, and a large vat with bubbling liquid, which you presume is wax, currently bubbling over a bed of glowing red coals and filling the air with thick fumes.
Ugh, I'm throwing my liquid ice there.
Ooh, you throw liquid ice on it?
Yes.
If he's going to be looking for the tools that they're looking for, while he's throwing ice on the wax.
Well, I was going to throw it on the coals.
Yeah.
Give me an attack roll to see how well you get it spread out over the coals. And if he, while you're doing that, Alonic, by the way, shuts the door to this room and bars it from the inside.
It's a good plan.
I just think that's like where the smell's coming from. Like, oh, turn it off.
Do you have a more sensitive sense of smell because of the dog nose? And
yeah, well, that's, I would assume, yeah. This is a touch attack, right?
Correct.
Touch.
So it is 17.
Okay, you hit it. Roll for the damage for me, and I'm going to check something real quick.
That's a D6. Oh, 6 damage.
By the way, I want you folks to get the rest of the kind of view of this area. In addition to the workshop materials, you see that there are a number of cells set into the walls.
What's in the cells?
People shivering on what appear to be filthy straw mats. Each one seems to have some padding around these people to muffle the sounds of their twitching.
Are they people we recognize?
None of them are people that you recognize, save for 2 people.
Ducey.
And the Baron.
Yeah, okay. Why am I not even going to say it?
That's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing. Sorry. I'm guessing.
Don't no, be
you,
sad.
You were right. You guys were 100% correct.
I only know like 4 people in this area, so like in the whole city, and one of them's a waiter we assaulted. So
yeah, and Alonic is looking around. He says, "These poor wretches. What has happened to them?" While he's doing that and trying to find some things of his own, give me that perception check I asked from you, Iffy.
24.
Iffy. On a big table with large wax blocks, you imagine these have to be maybe 1,000 pounds each, and there's 2 of them. Amongst a bunch of notes with very detailed drawings of you and Lupo, you find the set of tools in the leather case.
I shove all the drawings of me and Lupo into my bag, and then I'm also going to grab the tools. We have a special way of containing them, don't we? No, we don't. I'm just going to chuck those in my bag, too. I'm going to bag them up so that they don't tear a hole in my interdimensional bag.
You're just like, oh, these are really nice drawings of us.
Right? Like, we got to keep them. They're really good.
Lupo, you manage to extinguish the coals that are keeping the vat lit, but you hear a sound that immediately alerts both you and Alonic to the fact that something's wrong. As the liquid ice cracks and splashes, some of it hits the superheated metal vat.
Uh-oh.
And you see a thin, brilliant line of color move across it for a few seconds before there's a cracking noise and liquid wax starts pouring into the room.
Oh, no!
You also hear sound like running footsteps
coming up the stairs to the downstairs area.
Are there any windows in the room?
There are no windows in this room. You're going to throw more liquid ice?
At the wax now. To try to stop it from moving.
Ify's like calling the dogs up on the tables because she doesn't want them to be standing in wax. She's also climbing up onto a table. She climbs onto Yesser and then onto a table and then calls him up because it's easier for him to get up onto it.
Okay, well, Lupo, as you throw a vial, Alonic also throws a vial. Go ahead and give me another attack roll.
Oh, same one, 17.
Okay. You both throw these vials, and there is a mass of steamy, smoky, messy smell in here. You're all going to be choking.
Oh, God.
Until a door is opened up in here.
Oh, great. So when our enemies come in, the air will clear out.
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse, because you managed to stop enough of the wax up inside of the damaged vat that it doesn't keep pouring out again.
If he's going to head over to the people...
These poor people, men and women, they're dressed in rags and they are incoherent.
Oh gosh, and they're full-sized humans.
As you were investigating that, there is continued pounding on the door to this room.
We can't let them hurt the kid.
Could you get the kid away? Oh, how is our animal's magic fang off?
At this point, yes, I would say it probably is.
My bull strength off.
No, you'll still have a minute left on that.
I'm going to give... I have a potion of magic fang that I could give one of the dogs.
Okay.
Is your dog better at attacking? Are they the same or no? They have slightly different.
Yours has better AC.
Mine has a 20 AC and a 6 bite.
Mine has an 18 AC and a 7 bite. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to give it to your dog then?
Oh, I have one. I have one for my dog. You have yours. I'll have one for my dog.
Cool. I'm going to give one to my dog then. And what's the area around the door look like?
The area around the door, not nearly enough space for you to crowd around it. The area around the door that leads to the room, there's maybe like a 6 or 7 foot gap. Otherwise, you're in the stairwell.
So one of us could kind of fit by the door.
Correct.
We could do. I have another call traps.
The two bad guys are wax. The only person that would hurt are the kid and us, right?
Ooh. Can I coat the floor with my last liquid ice?
I also have oil. I could coat the floor with oil. Although fire would be very risky at that point.
So I will have my ready to throw at that when the door comes open. So it doesn't evaporate or anything like that.
I have a Tanglefoot bag.
That'll stop them in their tracks.
The Tanglefoot bag, you can actually spread out in front of the door if you want.
Oh yeah, that would slow them down.
Yeah, let me do that. How are we going to get the kid away though?
Can't you get it away from with your mind?
Can I?
You can only usually pull about 25 pounds.
And he's more than that.
Yeah. He's a little pudgy baby.
I'm going to stand by the door and I'm just going to try and grab him. Can me and Yesser flank the door?
Only one of you can get into the doorway to get in position to do something.
God, I kind of want to try and get Yesser to grab the kid, but I think he'll hurt him. He has got teeth. I'm so worried about this kid.
Do you want bull strength?
I have a potion of bull strength. I'll take that.
Okay.
And then I'm going to try and grab the kid and pull him away from them so that he's not in the middle of everything. Because it seems like Alonic uses a lot of kind of area stuff.
As the door bursts to flinders, you can see Dusir is actually behind Baronel Descartes. And Dusir is holding a loaded pistol that's aimed directly at little Ambrose's head as the two of them stand in the doorway. He says, "Do not make any funny moves, or I put a bullet right through young Ambrose's brain."
What do they find funny?
Yeah, like, I can't control someone else's humor.
No, I know what you mean. I'm sorry. That was, like, my first thought. I was like, wait.
This is why we would be the worst hostage negotiators. Like, what do you find funny? Puns? What if I make a joke and you don't find it funny? Does that still count? So they're not coming in?
They can see that there's a bunch of people inside the room ready to attack them.
Are they at the top of the stairs?
Yeah, they're at the top of the stairs.
She's going to shove them.
Which one is she going to try and shove?
The guy at the back near the top of the stairs.
So do Seer?
Actually, I'm really close to them, right?
You're about 15 feet away from them.
Do you think I can push him like before he would shoot the kid?
If you're doing an action other than parlay, you kind of have the initiative.
Yeah, I'm going to step around the corner and I'm going to kinetic blast him with brush infusion.
Go ahead and make that attack roll.
Because he's at the top of the stairs, right?
Yeah, he is. And he is not in melee. Oh, I hate this.
So yeah, I'm going to spend the burn.
Feel the burn. So your hair starts flying up on end.
I got a 17 plus 8 for the kinetic blast on that.
All right. I will let you know when a 25 doesn't hit, even with, yeah.
And I gave him I put in the infusion on the throwing one. Pushing infusion, that's what it is.
Yeah, the pushing infusion. Go ahead and roll for your damage.
I feel like I did a bad thing because you seem...
No. It's good, it's good.
15 damage. And then the pushing infusion...
Oh, I already rolled the combat maneuver check to see whether or not he goes over the edge.
Okay.
As so, yeah. You blast a hole big enough to see the wall behind him through, Dusir goes tottering off of the edge, the pistol slipping in his grasp and going off a mere foot or so away from this child's head. And Dusir plummets backwards off of the stairs. You hear a loud thumping sound as he lands somewhere below.
I'm going to point to the kid and say, yes, sir, guard.
Moonbeam. He said stop. I stopped throwing the thing, and now I'm going to do moonbeam at the father.
Go ahead and make that moonbeam attack.
By the power of the moon.
He starts transforming into a magic girl. Pulled up in the air. Some gloves slip on his arms. He does a hair toss.
So that is a range touch of 23. And then he must make a fortitude save or be blinded.
He does not have to make a fortitude save.
Oh.
Remember?
He ain't a people.
He ain't a people.
Well, I forgot about that. So that is 2 plus 2, 4 radiant damage.
Okay, so you blast him directly in the face with it, and you see the radiant damage. Kind of like the heat, it makes the wax run for a brief second, and then it solidifies in place, so his face looks like it slid downwards a bit.
Oh. Maybe I'm like, kid, close your eyes.
You hear the report of a pistol shot.
Oh, God.
Ray is holding the pistol that he had brought with him.
Who is?
Alonic Ray.
Oh, I didn't remember he had a last name.
That person that you can never remember. Yeah. I have to try.
Wow, he had a pistol this whole time?
He did. And he blasts the father directly in the face with it.
Good. Lonic's really handy.
The left hand portion of the father's face completely disappears. There's only about a quarter left of this thing's face when he's done with the shot.
Wow.
Let's go to initiative, everybody.
Oh, I only got a 7.
Oh my God, I got 7 too.
Alonic got a 7.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Jackpot.
I had a +6 on his initiative.
Ooh.
I only had a +2.
Yeah, me too. Did we both roll 5s then?
Yep.
Twinsies.
You see the father, who goes first, lift his son up over his head.
Oh, God.
So bad.
And tries to hurl him right off of the staircase.
Oh, no!
My dog didn't guard him? My dog had one job to defend.
Your dog gets an attack of opportunity. Because the rest of you weren't even in melee range. But yeah, your dog can try and prevent it. What is your dog going to try and do?
Like trip the guy?
Well, he's got trip with his bite.
Yeah, he's going to attack the man and try and keep him from getting to the boy.
He's still holding the boy.
Okay, yeah, he's going to attack the guy.
Okay. Otherwise, this is going to be a lot like that Walker, Texas Ranger scene where the kid jumps off of the bookcase.
Yeah, but now I feel so much pressure now, and that's not great.
Well, it's not on you. It's on your dog.
Okay. 18.
I have to check something real quick. Oh, you have to be kidding me. All right. Roll for your attack damage.
7.
As your dog leaps up and bites right into the thigh on this thing, you see Baron's kid just wriggling as hard as possible inside of the wax golem's arms. Ambrose manages to slip out at the last second just before he gets hucked over the ledge of the stairs.
Thank God.
and slips to the side as your dog ends up hitting the father and knocking him down off of the end of the staircase. He slides over the end and you hear a splatting noise as it hits the ground.
I'm like, that's not your real dad.
Don't look.
Close your eyes, Ambrose.
You hear a loud bang and you hear a yiping sound as a bullet rips its way right into the side of Yesser's body.
Oh, God.
Yesser takes 9 points of damage as he's shot in the back flanks.
He's okay. He's okay.
And you can see, standing on the staircase, Dusir is back up. A portion of his face has kind of been mushed in, like it took a really hard impact. And he's still got a big hole through the center of his chest. And you can see it almost looks like he was shooting for the kid.
Yeah, I bet he was.
And from there, we go to the band of sevens. Iffy, you have, I believe, the highest dex out of everybody.
I have a 15 dex.
Yeah, you will go before. What's yours, Lupo?
15.
Okay, so you will both go at the same time, and then Alonic goes.
I move to your dog, and I heal.
Aw.
I say, get him. For 7, I heal 7.
So most of the wound that was just inflicted via bullet onto Yesser's haunch disappears as Lupo caresses it and the healing light radiates from his hand.
She's going to try and kinetic blast him with the pushing infusion again. He's on the stairs, right? He came up the stairs.
He's on a staircase, but at this point you just blast him into a wall.
I'm fine with that. 19 to hit.
Once again, I'm going to let you know when that's not a thing.
17 damage. And that's before the infusion hits him.
Yeah, well, you slam him back into the wall, and you can see the adamantine ball passes through the wall and just out into the Demolyu's night. There's a hole in his neck, big enough that you could probably fit your entire fist through from where you struck it, and his head tilts for a second on the really flimsy remaining waxen material, and then just kind of collapses and falls off the top of his shoulders. Dusir has a very shocked expression on his face as his head drops to the ground.
Is he dead?
You can see his body softly and slowly starts turning into a pile of waxy mush.
He didn't make himself, though.
Maybe they turned on him.
Maybe.
You can see inside of the cells, the Baron, as well as the real Dusir, are starting to stir a little bit. You can also see, at this point, there's a semi-conscious man who looks exactly like the guard that you had tangled with right previously. And yes, there
is... The missing butt guy?
The missing butt guy.
No. Oh, that one, okay.
And there is a little boy in one of the cells.
So I'm going to check on, first of all, if he goes and pets Yesser to make sure he's fine. She trusts Lupo, but if he, like, Yesser's her baby. Then she's going to turn to the kid and be like, Ambrose, so there's like a lot going on right now.
Yeah, Ambrose looks pretty shell-shocked.
But your dad's okay.
He runs over and he says, wee, wee, papa. And he points to the father that is in one of the jail cells.
Yeah, I don't think your real dad was the bad guy. I think your real dad's been here.
I told you, my father, he was not the same.
You were totally right.
He gives a tiny little smile, although this kid looks like he's been through hell.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a rough one, and he's seen some pretty horrific shit. So.
And you can hear downstairs a lot more footstep.
Oh, wait.
Alonic, will people believe you if you tell them what happened here?
Well, I have something of a reputation, so most people would believe it. And I mean, look at the state of this place and these people in these cells.
Can we get these two out?
From where Dusir's body is, he goes over and starts investigating and he finds what looks like cell keys and tosses them up the stairs to you. You see a number of the gendarmes with the blue cloaks being led by the man who was very suspicious of you folks the entire time, Reynard. And as they come running in, Alonic puts his hands up and starts explaining the whole situation to them.
If he's going to be unlocking people, because she's against people in cages in general.
I have a healer's kit, so I'm going to start getting out that and see if I can help anybody who needs, like, just mundane healing.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. So they come running up, and, like, in the background, there's just these two halflings, like, letting people out and, like, bandaging their wounds. We're such good guys. This is great.
At the end of the evening, what is reported to the citizenry the next day in the local papers is that some sort of slavery ring was being conducted by Dusir. But the bold detective Alonic Ray, as well as two of his foreign visitors, managed to crack the case of the trafficking that was taking place and confronted the people responsible who were holding Dusir captive. It's reported that they used magic to look like Dusir. However, you three know the real story. You were just advised very strongly by the gendarmerie not to reveal any of it to people.
I think if he would have wanted to visit the kid to make sure that he was okay, Ambrose.
When you managed to get his father awake enough for him to realize what's going on and to have things explained to him, he looks very bashful and very ashamed, and he is holding his boy very tightly.
I should probably return his journal to him at some point. But not today.
Not today, sir. And whenever you wish to visit Ambrose, he indicates that he is perfectly fine with the people that saved his life coming to pay a visit at the house.
Cool. Yeah, I think if he would do that just to check in, make sure he's okay, let him know if that anything weird ever happens again to contact them or Jackson, all that.
And at this point, certainly Alonic is more than happy to return home. He says, I just can't believe this entire situation, to have had this here the entire time in the city. Clearly, my investigations have not been thorough enough.
These things have a way of hiding.
Things get away from you.
Yeah.
Like this.
How do we know all the wax monsters are gone?
Based on what you understand from what the gendarmes said, they are going to be in the process of tracking these people's duplicates down. Because it seems for each person who was in this place, they also correspond to one of the names that were listed on the ledger that you had found. The one with names crossed off on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
And only the people whose golems were killed have come back to their senses. The rest of them are beyond even any kind of the magics that the city is able to bring to bear. So you know the gendarmes are currently out hunting for the things that have stolen these people's appearances.
Should we be helping with that?
Yeah, do they need help?
At this point, the gendarmes kind of give you a response indicating that you've helped enough.
That sounds a little patronizing.
Yeah. I mean, I still have oil. We could go burn down that horrible place.
We have so much oil. We could burn like half the city if we wanted. Are they sure they don't want our help?
Especially once you start talking about arson, Alonic is like, maybe we should go.
If he cannot wait to get home and tell Jackson all about this using the speaking stone.
What are you going to tell Jackson? I'm interested to hear this.
It's 20 words, right?
25.
25.
Oh, and can I ask before that, the healer's kit, how much would I have used at all? Like, if it has 10?
If you tended everybody that was not comatose, it would be 4 uses. So you would have 6 left.
Okay.
Her message would be, hey, Jackson, we found some wax monsters and I threw a butt in one, but it was his own butt and I saved a kid and burnt.
Message full.
It takes a few minutes, but it starts to vibrate and you hear, congratulations, you two. I hope next time we talk, you'll be able to tell me if you had success locating the item. Love you.
I love that he ends up with love you. And I love that she gives him no actual useful stuff.
None. Not a lick of information that's helpful.
I just feel like she's going to do it.
Just like a 5-year-old's book report.
Yeah.
3 days after the incident, while you're resting and recuperating a little bit at Alonic Ray's house, there's a knock on the door that Arthur answers. And when he comes back from the door, he says, Iffy, Lupo, if I may have your attention for a few moments, I believe you have an official visitor.
Wrap my scarf around me and I head out.
Iffy walks over there, but kind of in that slow trudging way that like a kid who doesn't want to go does.
Yeah, and you can see Ray also comes out to see what's going on out here. As you go outside and are standing on the porch, you see a beautifully decorated coach in the middle of the road holding up the traffic that's stopped warily around it. The white coach is adorned with the official seal of the Council of Brilliance and surrounded by several guards, all holding rifles. You hear the noise of a throat clearing and the guards part almost reflexively when they hear it. There's a human man who appears to be maybe in his early to mid-50s wearing a purple cloak that's embroidered with elaborate gold thread pattern. And they're wrapped around clothes and jewelry that obviously belong to somebody who's got a great deal of money and or influence. He's got very dull red hair that's kind of streaked through with gray and bound up in a very neat ponytail. And there's streaks of the same gray running through the goatee and mustache that he has that are the same color as his hair. But his eyes are dazzling. Probably the nicest blue eyes that you've ever seen ever on a human.
Ooh.
And as he speaks up, he says, "My apologies for disrupting the tranquility of the home of the great detective who graces our city. But on behalf of the Conseil of Brilliance, I've come to have a conversation with the foreign heroes who helped root out the horrible darkness in the cities that we love so much." As he moves over to you two, Lupo and Iffy, he says, "It is a pleasure to meet our diminutive heroes. I am chief advisor to Lord Governor Guignol. My name is Councillor Dominic Donner." And as Alonic Ray is standing there, he says, "Well, if anyone represents the true heart of the Montlieu, it would be our esteemed guest, wouldn't it?" You see Donair's mouth twinges a little bit. It almost looks like he's getting ready to smile. And he slaps his thigh and he motions towards his awaiting carriage. He says, "Shall we go?"
If he is looking between this fancy guy and guy whose name I forgot again.
Alonic Ray.
And she feels like there's something going on here that she's not getting, but she's happy to go in the pretty wagon.
"Do I need any of my stuff?
Can the dogs come?"
"No, on both counts."
I had already put on, because it only takes a move action to put on my armor. So I have my armor on. So
can they run behind? Can they run with the wagon?
He makes a waving gesture like he doesn't really care. And then he motions for you to join him and climbs up into the interior of this coach.
If he's very tempted to grab at his foot with Mei-Chan to trip him. But she glances at Alonic and feels like he would probably not be happy with that.
Alonic doesn't look happy anyway. He's got a scowl on his face.
I'll go quietly.
If he's going to hop up into the wagon, she's going to tell Yester to follow behind. She's going to pull some chocolates out of her bag and she's going to start eating some chocolates.
Now, as you hop in, it is the most luxurious seating accommodations you've ever had in your lives.
I feel like it's made for humans, so we have to climb up.
Yeah.
You have to struggle a little bit and no one helps you at all.
Iffy,
our little legs are kicking as we're trying to get up there.
Iffy's been eating chocolates all day, so she puts her grubby little chocolate-covered hands on there and rubs her little face on it. She's scrambling and she kicks her little dirt-covered feet because Iffy's not a lady. So she's been out wrestling with the dog, so she's more than happy to put a mud-covered boot up against the wall on the nice little cloth there and scramble. She's being as messy as possible while she scrambles up, because if they're going to make her scramble, someone's going to be cleaning up after her.
Lupo, I want you to give me a sense motive check.
Not on her, because you know it's just malicious.
Oh, God.
Hopefully Alonic's also rolling a sense motive.
14.
No, yeah, I mean, he looks at your cousin as she's making an ordeal of getting inside of the cart.
Little grunts.
And as the cart starts moving, you can see he just starts flicking from you back to Iffy on the matter. And he says,
"Well, it is not quite often that I get to enjoy a trip with foreign heroes. I must say, I was a little surprised to hear that it was two half-beings who ended up correcting that matter that we had at Le Maison du Cire."
Well, anytime I'm surprised, it's a little surprise, being diminutive and all.
We are more than we seem.
Indeed, you are more than you seem. I'm quite curious as to exactly the business that you have in our fair country. Of course, I am responsible not for maintenance of the gendarmerie, but for setting the laws. And whenever an instance happens that falls outside of the laws, I am quite concerned, of course, as to the results.
I mean, I can see why. If you guys have people making wax monsters out of everyone, that's pretty alarming. You must have a really important job to keep it from happening all the time. More chocolate. She has no idea what this conversation's about. He would have probably she doesn't understand politics or any of the stuff that's happening right now. She just knows a vaguely rude man is making her ride in a cart.
What language do they speak here again?
They speak Mordantish, correct. Yeah.
We're real good at it.
I'm speechless because of what she said. I just gotta sit there I position my star a little better so that it's not so hiding more of my face. Oh god.
Yeah, does he have a response then?
I have forgotten everything that just happened.
Lupo's rude to service people and he's rude to authority. all that if he's getting from this is that this guy's being like kind of rude to them, and she doesn't get why he's even got them in the cart if he doesn't like them.
He wants to know why we're here.
Yeah, to deliver a letter.
Oh, a letter regarding what exactly?
Oh, I don't know. I don't read other people's letters.
Ah, so curios?
Curious?
Couriers. We were at the time, yes.
Ah, may we? I see. Well, one good thing about couriers is, of course, it is considered quite impolite to kill them.
Isn't it?
Impolite to kill anybody?
Yeah. Like, are the rules different here? Is it polite to kill some people but not others?
He laughs, and it almost sounds genuine at that point. He says, life is cheap in some places, of course, not in our shining jewel of a city.
If he's looking out the window trying to figure out, like, is he just saying that he loves his city, or are there, like, a lot of jewels that she hasn't noticed?
Except for those who are, you know, hungry.
That is what the social services are for, my friend. Now, with these contributions that you folks have made to our great country, we in the Conseil, we feel compelled to provide you with some sort of compensation. We had a small discussion off of the books, of course, and we would like to send you on a trip to Chateau Faux.
We didn't do this for any compensation. We saw something was wrong, and we helped.
Oh, may we, of course. You are selfless heroes, I understand. However, you have done a great service for the Domolius people, and we wish to repay that service. We were hoping that we would be able to convince you with some waivers for some merchandise from the many craftspeople that live in Chateau Faux, in addition to a fully paid for travel.
Do I know what the chateau is?
Yeah,
have you heard of it? Chateau Faux is the other major settlement in Domolius.
Oh, how nice. They're offering the two homeless people bus tickets to the next city. That's what that feels like.
Obviously, it is a great honor to be gifted these. I feel like that too, because I'm like, yes, it's a good honor.
Seems like a big decision to make right now. It's not a good idea to make these thoughts without eating first. It's a halfling way.
Do you have any bread?
He says, no bread, crackers. And he opens up, there's a little tiny tray near him, and it's got a silver lid on it, and inside are what appear to be small, like maybe biscuits or something, as well as, you know these right away, they're fish eggs. Caviar.
Sure. I mean, we like fish eggs, whatever.
I really like them.
Like what the bears eat.
Grown up, but sure.
Yeah, I mean.
Get more meat when they're grown up.
He gives you a clearly patronizing look, and he says, well, now that you have dined, you will be happy to accept, we?
I guess if we have no choice, since it's such a great honor.
Yeah, we'll be happy to go in a day or two.
He gives a look like you're finally starting to wear on him a little bit. He says, now, that is the problem. See, unfortunately, I have arranged for transport to take you away this evening.
Well, we didn't even know we were going until just now.
We.
That seemed like a bad planning on your part. But, I mean, since you went to so much trouble, and we are going to go, why not this evening?
If he's going to turn to Lulo and say in halfling, guys are really rude here. They put on all these airs about being fancy and stuff, but they kind of just remind me of the hogs that just run around and bump into each other, you know?
I'm watching his face to see what he is understanding.
I mean, it's probably worth leaving, because who would want to be in a town with people like this? Alonic's cool. Kid was cool. These guys, I'd rather not be around pig people. So she smiles at him, and in upper Mordantish, she goes, sure, we'll go.
He gives you a broad smile.
Allons-y.
Allons-y indeed. I will make certain that any of the folks I will send with your carriage this evening are not, how you say, the pig people.
That'd be appreciated, because pig people are kind of rude.
He looks at you directly, Iffy. And he says, shut your mouth. Iffy, I need you to make me a will save.
He has like a 16 will save.
Okay. Iffy, you are unable to find your voice.
If he's afraid, because Iffy's fear tends to be telekinetic.
It's not a fear effect. As soon as he tells you to stop talking, you feel compelled to stop talking.
Okay.
And Lupo, he turns and looks at you, and he says, ah, so much better. Now that the adults have the ability to speak without the children speaking, I can tell you folks this. If I wanted to, I could have you in a river within the next hour. This is my home. These are my people. And you will never speak to me in that fashion again, regardless as whether you're using your language or not. Because if I am angered,
You would be surprised at the things that I could get done. You will be leaving the Molyneux in a day or two. I have given my word. I will not harm you, nor will any of the people under my control. In the future, however, especially since I am aware that you still have yet to speak with a certain professor who runs a curiosities exhibition, when you are in my home, you'll be respectful next time, may we?
Of course. We did not mean such offense.
You hear clicking sounds from behind you. You can hear that it sounds like the people that were driving carts had weapons on you.
So glad to come to a genial arrangement.
As the cart rolls to a stop, the door opens, and you are back out in front of Alana Gray's home.
Iffy uses her telekinesis to just unhook part of the carriage.
What part of the carriage?
The pin that holds the horses to the carriage part.
The horses, for their part, start moving once the rider prompts them after you've gotten out of the cart. And they only make it a foot or two before the driver notices that they have come unmoored from the cart.
If he's going to wave cheerfully as she starts heading back to the house.
They very quickly manage to get things taken care of and get the cart back in working order. But you can see there's someone looking at you from the slit on the side door of the cart the whole time, Iffy. And it is him.
She waves at him and then starts wrestling with her dog.
Will the Cthulhu cousins make it out of the Molyneux alive? What happens when you piss off a Dark Lord? And will the gendarmes really catch all the wax golems on the loose in the city? Find out the answers to some of these questions and more on the next episode of Ravenloft, Tiny Terrors. Ravenloft is a registered trademark owned by Wizards of the Coast, Incorporated. The Pathfinder role-playing game is trademark of Paizo, Incorporated. Our theme song, Spooky Halloween Trailer, was composed by Toy Invention and is used under a commercial license that includes sync licensing. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can always email us at realplaygamespodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at realplaypod. If you'd like to support the show, please visit our Patreon at www.patreon.com/realplaygamespod and get early and exclusive content in exchange for helping us pay the rent.